One of the things that stops small business owners from creating marketing content consistently is this feeling of being uninspired, of having no idea what to say in the first place. If you can relate to this, you are in good company. So many of us struggle with knowing what our marketing content should actually be about. But I am here to help. I have come up with 100 prompts that you can use to guide your marketing, from your social media posts to your emails to your longer form content. I guarantee that these prompts will get you inspired and that you'll have more ideas than you even know what to do with. You can download this list of 100 marketing prompts for free at makinggoodpodcast.com/100prompts. That's makinggoodpodcast.com/100prompts. Welcome back to Making Good, the podcast for small businesses who want to make a big impact. I'm your host, Lauren Tilden, and this is episode 228. I was really excited to have today's guest on the show because she offers a totally unique perspective to branding. Taline Rahman Figueroa is a former British diplomat consultant turned brand expert. Her expertise lies in a very distinctive realm, empowering solopreneurs to transform themselves into brand ambassadors within their respective industries. Taline's background as a UK diplomatic consultant forms the foundation of her approach. Her mission is clear. Just as she turned citizens into diplomats, she now turns solo entrepreneurs into brand ambassadors. Taline firmly believes that every solopreneur has the potential to become an industry icon. It was so fascinating to hear how Taline incorporates her background in consulting diplomats when working with her branding clients. In this episode, we discussed how diplomacy relates to branding, what is a brand ambassador, why it's so important to put you into your business, the difference between a personal brand and branding, how to make a great first impression for your business, some great practical tips for branding, and more. And now for my conversation with Taline. Taline, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Lauren.
I'm so excited to have you. We're over 200 episodes in now, and I've talked to a lot of different types of people in terms of their background, but yours is definitely a new one. So we're going to be talking all about branding. People probably won't expect, though, the way that you got to be doing what you're doing. So I'd love you to just to start out by sharing a little bit about where you started out and what you do now.
Yeah, absolutely. Hearing about my accent, I'm not American. I'm originally from London in the UK. And back before I moved to Massachusetts, which is where I am now, I used to be a diplomat consultant. And this is a business that I started myself because originally I had goals of becoming a diplomat for my country. And for many ethical reasons, I decided, I don't want to just represent my country. I want to work with as many different countries as possible. As a diplomat consultant, I actually had a lot of one-to-one time with other diplomats, politicians, just people who were public figures. And my job was to get them down to the ground and remind them, hey, why did you become what you are now? Because you can imagine a lot of these people have big titles, big money, big everything, and they forget their purpose. Mm-hmm. So this was the journey for me on personal branding 101, because at the end of the day, they were representing not just the government, they were representing a body of people. So my job was to find their personal brand in their very public roles and bring them back to the ground so they can reconnect with people again.
So interesting, because yeah, I wouldn't probably normally think of the term personal brand when it comes to politicians and public figures in the government, but probably there's very few places where your personal brand matters more than when you're an elected official or have some role like that, where what people think of you and what their impression of you is so important. What an interesting way to come to personal branding and to branding which I know is your business now. So tell us a little bit about your business now and what kind of work you do.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you can imagine, when I moved to Massachusetts, just a disclaimer, I moved because of love. So my husband and I just basically swapped hometowns. And I'm in a village. I call it the village. It really isn't. But to me, moving from London to where I am now feels like the village. And I wasn't in DC. I was not surrounded by government officials. So obviously I had to pivot my target audience, so to speak. And while I was looking and trying to figure out what I'm going to do here in my new country, I noticed that, wow, America has so many solopreneurs everywhere. And that's very different from my country, which is run by the government and corporations. And I noticed, okay, great, there are so many solopreneurs right here on my doorstep, but my goodness, they are so bad at branding themselves. Mm-hmm. There are so many solopreneurs who they don't want to work for corporate America. They want to do their own thing. They want to control their own hours. They don't want to have another boss to run them. But there was a lot of things that they were doing in their business that I just kept thinking, oh my God, if you only were not a ghost in your business, if you were the face of your business, and if you fix up your brand messaging a little bit, you can do so much more and earn so much more and not hustle so much. And that's when I thought, my company is now Boss Diplomat. So I'm still very mindful of my history as a diplomat, but I'm now focusing on the bosses. And that's how I started Boss Diplomat, by finding this gap in the market. No one else was doing what I was doing. So the minute I niched down to just personal branding for solopreneurs, my doors just opened wide open.
Love it. So I think it might be interesting for anyone listening who probably most folks have heard the term solopreneur. It's not one that I use very often. So just in case that's new to people, what is a solopreneur?
A solo entrepreneur. So you work for yourself, you don't have a team. And if you do have a team, they tend to be contractors and freelancers, but you are the main person who runs the business and does everything in the business. So those are the people I'm talking to.
Okay. I think a lot of folks listening are going to resonate with that definition. You said that one of the reasons that you started your business was you looked around and you saw so many solopreneurs just making big mistakes, basically, when it comes to their businesses and personal brands or lack thereof. I would love to just dig into this a little bit. Like, what were some of the big mistakes that you noticed or that you see now when you're working with your clients? What mistakes are people making when it comes to branding, personal branding?
They don't have one. They don't have one. A lot of the time, businesses just want to get up and go and start making money, any money, working with whoever and whatever. So as a result, they don't really think deeply about, okay, I'm going to help you with this very specific problem, and this is how I'm going to move you from having this problem to finding this solution. There's no process in place, and the businesses are just working with whoever is willing to give them whatever money. That's not a sustainable business, because at the end of the day, you're going to start seeing yourself working 40 hours plus per week in your business. You're not making the money that you should do. A lot of solo entrepreneurs start thinking about, oh, maybe I should go back to work, or maybe I should have a second job, or I'm going to throw all of this money into marketing or rebuilding my website. But then if they don't have a foundation in the business, which is their brand, and more importantly, if you don't have a personal brand as the owner of the business, people don't really know who they're going to be working with. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I focus specifically on personal branding is because a lot of these entrepreneurs are very much invisible or ghosts in their business, meaning you could have a website that you've sticky taped together. You go on Canva, you find some sort of logo, you build your website yourself, you try to DIY a lot of it, but then your website is not pulling any sort of like clients or sales or leads because you're not actually talking to anyone. You don't have a target market. And that's a really big part of branding, is who is your audience? Who are you specifically talking to? And then if you're talking to someone, you want to give them eye contact. And this is where personal branding is really important. You should make that one-to-one connection, even if your marketing is online. And this is how you start to build trust and that credibility and awareness about your business.
Yeah, super interesting. I know that you don't, when I think of personal branding, my first instinct is always like service provider. So I'm hiring someone to do a service for me. They're going to be trusting them with something. for either my business or my life. And I want to know who it is that's going to be doing that thing. So it's important for me to understand who that person is. I think a lot of folks can get that, why personal branding would matter for that. One thing that I think a lot of my audience in particular maybe is a little bit less familiar with, or maybe it's less intuitive, is why would a personal brand be important for someone who makes products? So I'm buying jewelry, I'm buying tea towels that with your designs on them, I'm buying ceramics, whatever it is. The intuitive response that a lot of people have is that why should they need to show their face? Because you're not buying anything related to me, or just buying the thing I'm making. What do you have to say about that?
The first thing I would say is, I would love to know why you're making this product. If you're making this ceramic plate, I want to know who's making that plate. I want to know how this even started. I think as humans, we're naturally curious about each other. So why hide that story? It's better just to open that door by 1% to show off your passion for making these products, because it brings that human element to it. You want to show off how much you love doing what you're doing, why you're doing it, why you started this business. And then you can start talking about your products in a different way that's more personal to you. Think about all of the products that are out there. And if you were to look at all of your competitors, say if I was I make protein shakes in my small business. If I was to check out all of my competitors and list down how many of the founders are actually found on the website when promoting their products, I bet there's going to be a really small amount that does that. Mm-hmm. So you're already differentiating yourself from all of the other competitors. Plus, when you're the person that's promoting your product, you're the face of that business now. So you're on social media talking about your product, why you made this product the way it is, why the other products in the market didn't work for you specifically or your family. And then this gives you a lot of leverage to then talk about your product to the press and media, or even do influencer marketing. And this is a really great way to then get your product out into the broader market. And again, you become top of mind now. Now, a lot of people are going to start being curious about this specific protein shake because you're talking about it actively. You are showing off why this is different. There's a real face behind this product now. It's not just a model or an actress or some unknown person promoting this product. It's actually the founder of that business. There's just so much more heart behind that. Mm-hmm. And if all products were to do that, you'll see a lot more success.
Yeah, I love that. I can speak for myself when I go learn about a new company or explore a new business owner. I always, the first thing I do when I go to their website is go to the about page. Mm. And statistically, it's one of the most visited sections on any business's website. And it's such a missed opportunity. People don't put a lot of effort into it because it's like, okay, that's not the product listing, or it's not the homepage. So whatever, I'll just throw something generic up there. But you're right. We are people. We are so curious about other people. We want to connect with other people. I just can relate to that from my own browsing behavior as well. I just want to see the person involved.
And I think this is something that a lot of us entrepreneurs forget. We are also consumers. We also buy products. We also buy services. So think of how you buy those products and services. How do you choose those specific people to work with, or that specific business to work with? What made you decide, okay, I'm going to support this business? And then think about, am I actually doing that in my business too? Or am I just ignoring that part? So you can learn a lot from yourself, from your own buying behavior, especially if you're a product entrepreneur. How do you choose products? For example, are you skimping out on the product photography, or are you doing it yourself? And if somebody was to see that photo on your website or social media or wherever you're marketing your product, and your product was done on your phone, and it's okay, it's not the best photo, but it's not professional, would you buy that product? Mm-hmm. How you present your product is important. And I think for a lot of products, especially for the product entrepreneurs that I've worked with in the past, they do skimp out. They take so many shortcuts because they just want money coming through the door, but they also undervalue how much they charge their product. So for example, I had a business that I was working with. She was selling her own skincare line, shampoo, conditioner, body butters, that kind of stuff. And her product was marked at around $10 to $15. And she was barely making any sales because she was not anywhere to be seen online on her business. There was no compelling why to buy this product. There's a million other skincare products that are out there that are very well marketed and have a very good brand. They have a ton of influencer marketing going for them. There was a lot going against this company, and branding fixed a lot of those issues.
This brings us to a distinction I want to make sure that we make, which is we've talked about branding and we've talked about personal branding. Will you just define what the difference is between these two things for us?
Yeah, of course. Personal branding is the person behind the business. So this is more about you and why you started your business. So what I like to do for the personal brand is really weave in your backstory into your business. And your business brand is, okay, your colors and your typography and how your business shows up in the market. What I do is I blend the two together. So without you, there is no business. So you have to show yourself in your business brand. So I like to merge the two together. And this is why I talk about personal branding and branding together, because I don't think it should be one or the other. It needs to be blended together, especially if you are the entrepreneur behind that business.
Yeah, love.
I'll give you an example, Lauren, of personal branding. So I've heard business owners say, because I do image consulting for my business owners, a lot of my clients don't actually know how to dress themselves as the boss of their business. And many of them say, I need to look professional, so I'm going to wear a blazer and a tie and basically look corporate. And I usually rip that script up and saying, no, if that's not the persona that you usually have, i.e. to be professional, quit it. Don't do that. Stop being professional. Just be you. And then they say, I don't actually know how to dress to be me. It's such a simple thing. But image consulting for solopreneurs is really important, especially if you're going to start showing up and be in front of your business. But then a lot of my entrepreneurs say, my business colors are black and yellow, and I don't really want to wear black and yellow on me. That's fine. Your business colors are going to be very different from your personal colors. And I never recommend that you wear your business colors, because even though you're representing your business, you are not a live walking billboard for your business. So do not wear your slogans and your business colors unless those personal colors are right for you.
Interesting. I didn't realize that was part of your business, but I have many times been like, what should I wear in these photos? I don't know. And you just go to all the stores and I don't have a great solution for it. And eventually, I don't know, I choose something and hopefully it's good enough. But I think that's a really interesting, I didn't actually realize that was something you could hire out and get help with. So that's really interesting.
Yeah, it's one of those things that people don't think about, but it's part of my packaging. If I'm going to make you a brand ambassador in your business, if I'm going to be putting you in front of your business and help you become premium, we have to make sure that every single part of you is representing you and you alone. Because you can dress up in a suit, but if that's not how you're like every day, then you're misrepresenting yourself.
You just use the word brand ambassador, and I know that's a big part of the work that you do with your clients and your philosophy. Could you talk about what is a brand ambassador? How do you become one for yourself? What is that concept?
Yes, the reason why I use the term ambassador obviously stems from my diplomacy days, but the term brand ambassador is someone is representing something. So very often, celebrities are a really good example of what a brand ambassador is. A really big company will hire a celebrity to be a spokesperson for a specific brand or a product. That's the same thing that I'm replicating for solo entrepreneurs, except you're the person that is now representing that business or product or service. So it's the business owner who are their own brand ambassadors. And this is what I mean by you becoming the face of your business. That's what a brand ambassador does. You show up for your business, not somebody else. You're not going to expect someone else to do a better job than you.
Do you talk at all about like brand ambassadors beyond yourself? So having other people represent your brand as well?
Yeah, not really, because I only work with solo entrepreneurs. I don't work with a team. So that's my niche. If you are like, if you work for a bank or a franchise, I'm probably not going to be the right consultant for you, because I only specialize in solo entrepreneurs who run and own their own business.
Gotcha. So we've talked a little bit about just along the way, some of the things that help establish a strong personal brand. So one of them you've mentioned a few times, which I totally agree with, which is like just literally showing your face on your website, on your other communication channels, like being a person and being seen. You've talked a little bit about making sure that the way that you are seen is in alignment with who you are and what your personal brand is. But when it comes to going from a point of, let's assume the average listener does not have much of a personal brand associated with their business, where do you suggest that people start? What are some practical ways of creating that personal brand, of having it show up in their content? Where do you start with this?
Oh, I always start off with the individual's backstory. What is your backstory? What brought you to where you are right now? And let's work backwards. Because it's always interesting to find out where someone came from. That's the first question that you asked me, was my background and my history and how that brought me into personal branding. That's exactly the same thing I do with all of my clients. I want to learn about the evolution. If they worked for corporate America and now they're a business owner, that's an interesting story. And I want to learn, what was that breaking point before they decided, you know what, I want to work for myself and I've decided to do this one thing. And they've chosen this one thing. I want to know how they came up with that idea and that thought. And my job is to basically pick up all of the pieces and structure it in a way that makes sense. And because of that, a lot of my clients call me the fairy boss mother, because I'm able to analyze everything that they're telling me. A lot of it is just fragmented, just conversation, lots of ideas. I don't know how to do this, but here, I'm just going to give you a stream of consciousness for about half an hour to 60 minutes. And my job is to put it together in a way that makes sense, not for them, but for their target audience. So when I look at who your target audience is, this is another mistake a lot of solopreneurs make. You think you know who your clients are, but you really don't. Because a lot of my clients will come up with sweeping statements like saying, I only work with Black women, for example. I'm like, okay, but that's a really big generalization. What problems are they going through? And are we tapping into their emotions? Are we working with Black women who are doing it all, or Black women who feel like they don't really have an identity in this environment? Or are we talking about Black women who are starting their own businesses and struggling to get funding? Who are we talking to? So I get them to really think about those types of dynamics. But then their job is not to figure out the target audience. I do all of that for them. And I usually have what I call the power of three. So you have your primary target audience. So if I was to give you an analogy, think of a dartboard, right? Everyone on that dartboard is your client, but your primary target audience is that little, tiny little red bullseye. That is the only person you should be talking to when it comes to your marketing and your branding. Not everyone else on the dartboard. That is going to be your premium client who's going to pay you the money that you're asking without any sort of negotiation or haggling or asking for discounts. They're your top clients.
Love that.
Yeah. And I think a lot of businesses just have too much of a broad statement of, the common mistake is, I work with everyone. And the common saying is, if you work with everyone, you work with no one. So I help define that. But I don't look at demographics. I don't look at how old is your client, what gender, ethnicity, income. I don't look at that. I go through the emotion.
Psychographics. I have a very similar approach. Like, I'm much less interested in the demographics of someone than what's going on in their head and what their behavior is and all that good stuff. So I totally resonate with that. I think that this idea of having a really specific ideal customer and speaking just to them. Of course, like, as a marketer, I'm totally on board with that, but I know my audience and I know that they tend to have a little bit of resistance toward this because when you first start, it can feel like you're closing the door on other potential customers and clients. What do you have to say to someone who just heard you say that and they said, but wait, I'm just starting out. I don't want to be turning people away because I need the business.
Yeah. So you're not really turning people away. Like I said, on that dartboard analogy, all of your marketing should be talking to a specific type of audience, but it doesn't mean that you're ignoring everyone else on that dartboard. They are still going to be your customers or your clients, but your marketing piece is not directly speaking to them. These are going to be people who from the outside are looking into your business and going, hey, this sounds really interesting. I really want a piece of that. But you're just not giving them direct eye contact. They're just the audience off the side. They're the onlookers in your business, if you can think about a crowd. So I'll give you an example. I worked with a CBD company in North Carolina. And as you can imagine, CBD is everywhere. There's always another CBD company that is just setting out. There are so many startups out there. And she has a very strong brand because of the work that we did. And she was also in that classic predicament of my product is for everyone. But when we narrowed it down, her backstory really helped us define who her target audience is. She lost her young son in a tragedy. And then a year later, her husband passed away. And as a result, that led to a domino effect in terms of how she was doing in her day-to-day. And CBD helped her get out of that funk. So when I was looking into her target audience, I said, hey, we should be targeting other people like you who's gone through something similar. So why not target the mothers, the wives, and the sisters? Because each of these individuals will have relations with other people who may be experiencing something similar or who themselves are also experiencing what she's gone through. Mm. And this is what I mean by defining your target audience. So by saying we're targeting wives, that's still really broad, but now we're putting a label to it and we're targeting that emotion. The daily struggles of a wife is very different from a daily struggle of a sister. So we're changing that narrative.
What are some concrete ways that you can practice showing your personal brand? So in case that's not clear what I'm asking, having your picture on your website, showing your face on your social media platforms, concrete ways of having your personal brand show up for people and connect with them.
It's funny, I have an entire YouTube series dedicated to answering that question. So definitely check out youtube.com/@bossdiplomat. But the most important thing is get your brand strategy right. Know who you're talking to directly and why them, because that's going to be linked back straight to your backstory and the reason why you started your business to begin with. And then the most important thing about personal branding is, or any just branding in general, be consistent. If you're going to show up on social media, you have to show up the same time all the time. So if you decided my social media days are going to be Monday, Wednesday, Friday, don't skip those days. Make sure that your posts are scheduled on the same days, because that will build consistency, not just for your audience, but also the algorithms and all of that techie nerd stuff that happens behind the scenes. And when you do show up, we know we were talking about image consulting earlier, try to make sure that you dress and wear similar things, like it still looks like you. For example, one day, if you're one of those people who wears a suit one day and then a dress the other day, and then the next day it looks like you're going, I don't know, to a cocktail party or a disco or whatever. People dress with their emotions. You can't do that, because that just shows so much inconsistency in your style and how you show up in your business. And it causes a lot of subconscious confusion. For example, I'm very consistent with how I wear. I'm very bright. I usually wear a blazer or something really bright on top. But my signature look is this head wrap. So I always have a head wrap. Now, if I decided tomorrow I'm going to not have no head wrap, or I'm going to be dressed in a hoodie and a baseball cap, is going to give the wrong message to my clients.
That's really interesting. Again, something I definitely don't think very much about. It seems to me, and I totally get the benefit of that in terms of consistency and showing up in a way that people start to be able to understand who you are and what you're all about. it does also feel like a lot of work to every time I'm going to show up on social media, make sure I'm dressed a certain way or representing myself in the way that I want to. What do you say to folks who have that response? Like, for you, is it a matter of, okay, I'm going to batch all my content. So I create it all in one pudding and then I trickle it out over time. For folks who, like, especially the makers among us who are like in the overalls, messy, painting their hair, and maybe that is part of their brand, but maybe it's not. How do folks marry the marketing need of showing up and really representing themselves well with just the practicalities of like time and effort to be in that state all the time?
Yes. Yeah, so it's not a lot of work when you have a strategy behind it. So everything I do in my business, I actually do for my clients. I have a strategy for everything. So when I do image consulting, this is an hour of work for me. My clients show up, I do this analysis, we run through the color analysis, figure out the style, and then put together a capsule wardrobe based on the information that they've given me. And so for me, for example, I have less than 60 items of clothing all season, and everything that I have in my closet mixes and matches perfectly. So Lauren, it's amazing how I'm 100% virtual. I do all of my meetings online, but my clients will never know that 3 minutes ago I was in my pajamas and I run upstairs. Like, my studio is on the top floor of my house. I have to run up 3 flights of stairs. I'm still in my PJs. And I'm like, crap, I need to get dressed for my Zoom meeting. And I quickly shed my clothes, grab whatever I can from my closet, pop it on, and then I'm on my Zoom. You would never have thought that I was not ready 3 minutes ago. There is, like, when you know what style you have, it's an art and a science, and it becomes second nature. So I have 3 minutes to dress myself every day. True story.
Love it.
And then in terms of, okay, your product makers, there's a time and a place where you should show off your work in process. And that could be an entire day you dedicate. Like, every Mondays could be, I'm going to show the behind the scenes of my business. And this is where you can get really messy and show off the real life of, this is how much time and effort goes into making this one candle. And I'm going to show you everything behind the scenes. It's like an unfiltered, messy process. People love seeing that. They love seeing the real life behind life. So when I say show up on social media consistently, you have to be authentic to yourself. I'm never saying be ready like you're going on TV. And here's another mistake that a lot of solopreneurs make, because I also do public relations to help entrepreneurs get the brand launched and ready. A lot of people make the mistake of buying something new just for TV. And women do this especially. They get their hair done, their makeup done, have this fabulous new dress, but they're not dressed like that every day. So again, you're misrepresenting yourself when you are not dressing the way you usually dress. And even if that means you're usually in a dungarees, you wear a t-shirt, you're wearing jeans all the time with a baseball cap, show up like that. Don't be someone else that you're not. Just make sure that you show up like that as many times as possible in most of your marketing.
Yeah, I really like the permission to, like, it's about consistency. It's not about the level of polish or fanciness. And if it is for you, like jeans and a baseball hat, and that's how you're going to show up 99% of the time, that's fine. It's just about that consistency.
Yeah, I had a photographer that I was working with, and I helped her with her entire rebrand. And I mentioned image consulting, and immediately she went, no, you're not putting me in a dress. And I said, who said I'm going to put you in a dress? And she's a classic example of baseball cap. She puts on a blazer. She's very rough and tumble, but that is so her. And I leaned into it even more, and that's not what she was expecting.
Mm-hmm.
I lean harder into your personality than you could ever lean into your personality.
Yeah, I read a book recently for the Making Good Book Club. I honestly forget which one it was, but there was a quote in it. I'll find it and put it in the show notes. But the quote is basically like, our job is not to make you more of someone else. It's to make you more of you. And I think that's such a good idea with branding and personal branding and just marketing in general. Find the things that are like so you and uniquely you and lean into those really hard. Don't try to soften them or blend in any way. Really lean into the things that are you and showcase that as much as you possibly can.
Yes. And I think people mistake that when you're showing off your personal brand, you're showing off your life story and the day to day and all of that stuff. This is not a reality TV show. You don't have to do that. All we are doing as part of your personal brand is showing people why you started this business to begin with and how you got there. Everything else is room for interpretation, but that's the part that you're making public.
Yeah. One thing that I've seen you talk about is the importance of making a good first impression. Can you talk a little bit about why it's so important to make a positive or like a clear first impression and any tips you have on how to do that?
Yeah, so I think personal branding really does lean into, hey, first impressions really matter. I'll use myself as an example. So actually, when you were looking for hosts on your podcast, I'm curious to know, did you check me out and what was your impression of me? Because I think that could tell people why personal branding matters.
Yeah, so we got your pitch and we go through and look at the ones that look interesting, and that's a very small percentage of them actually. And then Corinne gave it to me, and then I looked at your talking points, which I thought were really interesting. But of course, I'm going to go to your website and see what you're all about. And I think for me, what, of course, like anyone who has a lot of bright colors and bold branding like that, I connect with that strongly because I'm into that as well. But I think what I was most connected with your brand online was really the story. Like, I was really struck by, okay, I've like literally never had anyone on the show before who has a diplomacy background and has not just has that background, but has a way of tying that into marketing. That's a really unique, kind of one of a kind backstory. And so for me, I think that was my, like the hook in it that got me interested.
And that's exactly it. It's when somebody visits your profile or your marketing or wherever your business is, are they going to stick around or are they going to leave? And as business owners, we of course want people to stick around and we want them to convert from being interested to becoming a customer or a client. And that's where personal branding is really important. Are you really selling yourself as authentically as possible? And is that going to turn into a yes or a no when they go to your website? And if those elements are missing, they may never come back and see you again. So we want to make sure that when you have that tiny little opportunity to convert somebody, you want it to be a yes as soon as possible.
Yeah, so good. I am going to start to transition into some of the questions that I get to ask all of the amazing guests on this podcast. But before I do, I just want to ask, is there anything else about branding, personal branding, any kind of final comments you have on this topic that maybe we haven't gotten to yet?
There's so much that I can show you so much of your gaps and your brand weaknesses just by having a quick chat with you. If you'd love to learn more about how personal branding in your business can really take you to the next level in your business, I would love to invite you to have a free 30-minute mini brand session with me. You'll have actual FaceTime with me. Like, I don't send members of my team to do this work. This is some more Tarlene time. I'm able to then dive a little bit more deeply on, okay, let me see from a branding perspective, let me show you what your website is actually telling your clients or your customers. Or I can look at your Instagram or your Facebook or whatever, and I can quickly assess, okay, here's all the things that are missing on your Instagram right now. These are the missing pieces. Can you fix it? And if you can't, you should maybe have a brand power hour with me where I'm going to talk deeply about where your strengths, weaknesses, and opportunities are, and then all of the gaps that need to be fixed. And these are things that are very fixable. It's not something that's going to take forever to do. And when my clients work with me, you get a new rebrand within 3 weeks. It's so fast and really intense. But my job is to get you to your next goal faster, not longer.
We will have the details about that in the show notes. So be sure to check out the show notes for this episode if you want to take Tailene up on that offer. That's very generous. Thank you. Okay, so I would love to hear, and I've heard already many ways that you do good through your small business, but in your words, like, how do you approach making a positive impact through your business?
Hey, energy equals energy, right? So I always come to my calls fully energized, looking like I'm ready to listen. And I don't know, when people meet me, they just open up to me and start telling me everything. And I haven't even opened my mouth yet. So I don't know how that works, but that happens a lot with my clients. But that's good, because information to me is gold for you.
Yeah. What is one small business that you admire?
Oh my gosh, that's a really hard one, because I've worked with over 100 plus small businesses. I'm actually coming up with a new webpage on my website with case study portfolios. And these are, you know, a small highlight of some of the businesses that I worked with. Because when I work with clients, my process and my approach stays exactly the same for every single client. It doesn't matter if you're a service-based entrepreneur or a product-based entrepreneur. My process is my process. It stays the same. When that's ready, I'd love to share that with you, because then you can see the depth of entrepreneurs that I help, because I work industry-wide.
Yeah, absolutely. We will link that up as well. Send it over. What is one book that you would recommend?
Simon Sinek's Why is very important. That's like the pinnacle of the work that I do with my entrepreneurs, is always digging into your why and then spiral out of that. So that's definitely something I would recommend all entrepreneurs to read. Now, let me see. What book am I listening to right now? Another book that I recommend is Do Epic Shit by Anko Wariku, because that book reminds us we shouldn't be working 24/7. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs get stuck in that hustle mode. I absolutely hate the word hustle. Like, to hustle, you shouldn't be hustling for work. You should be living. And if you're working more than you sleep, that's a problem. So that's one I would recommend. It's also bright yellow, and I just resonate to yellow, so I couldn't help but pick it up.
I got married in yellow.
Yay! So. Wow! You are a bold chick.
Yeah. Okay, cool. That's a new recommendation. Start with why. I know, and I think maybe that's been mentioned maybe once, but not for a while. So check that out, folks listening, and Do Epic Shit is definitely a new one. So we'll have that linked in the show notes for sure. Helene, thank you so much for being here on the show and for everything you've shared. It's been so fun to learn a little bit more about your story and why you do what you do. I'd love for you to share where folks can connect with you online, where they can learn more about you and working with you, all the things.
Oh, thank you so much. This was so much fun, Lauren. So definitely check out my website, bossdiplomat.com. I am very active on Instagram. So if you DM me, if you direct message me, I will message you back. And that's at Boss Diplomat. And like I said, please think about having a free mini brand session with me. You can book online on Instagram, just anywhere where I am, there'll be a link. So it's not that hard to find. Boss Diplomat, guys.
Thank you so much for being here. This has been super fun.
Thank you so much, Lauren.
Okay, so that is my chat with Talene. I hope you all enjoyed it as much as I did. You can learn more about Talene and find links to the recommendations mentioned in this episode at makinggoodpodcast.com/228. I would love for you to take a screenshot of your podcast player while you're listening to the episode and tag me on social media at Lauren Tilden. If you enjoyed this episode, I'd be so grateful to have your support. Here are a couple of ways that you can give back to Making Good. First, let's connect on Instagram, take a screenshot of your podcast player while you're listening, and tag me at Lauren Tilden. Second, I would be so honored if you'd leave a rating and review in your favorite podcast player, and don't forget to subscribe and follow. And finally, if you have a friend that you think would enjoy the podcast, send them the link. Today's episode can be found at makinggoodpodcast.com/228. This episode was produced and edited by Corinne Monaco. Thank you for being here and for focusing on making a difference with your small business. Talk to you next time.